Hello, and welcome to The Hand Cell, where interesting people tell us about books they think that we should read. I'm Jen Northington, coming to you from Book Riot, and today's guest is Preeti Chibber, author of Spider-Man's Social Dilemma, coming out July 26th. Welcome, Preeti.
Hi.
I just realized that by the time this airs, the book will be out. So it's already out. Cool. You can get it. You can get it.
Great. Please buy it.
I know how time works. So anyway, this is already off to a super professional start, but it's okay because Preeti and I have known each other for a good long time.
For a very long time. And like, what, this is just another, this is great because I get to see you every other week podcasting. Yeah. And now this is just another moment of us podcasting.
Indeed. Preeti also used to write for Book Riot and mm-hmm. for our comic site when we had panels, RIP mm-hmm. panels. And yes, and we also have some side projects together, and we used to live in New York and be in publishing together. So when I was like, we're going to do an experiment, I was like, let me see if Preeti wants to come on my experimental podcast.
100% yes. Easy yes, always.
I'm excited though because you have picked out some very cool books to recommend to our listeners, and I'm excited for the theme. But before we get into that, let us do a quick sponsor break.
Today's episode is brought to you by Forever and Kennedy Ryan's heart-searing sensual This Could Be Us. When the life Soledad Barnes built with the man who was supposed to be her forever goes poof in a cloud of betrayal and disillusion, there is no time to pout or sulk or even grieve the life she lost. But then an unlikely man enters the picture. He's the forbidden one, the one she shouldn't want but can't seem to resist. Y'all know how that goes. But Soledad's lost it all before and refuses to repeat her mistakes. She asks herself, can she trust him? Can she trust herself? From the ashes of a life burned to the ground, something bold and new can rise. So This Could Be Us is an instant New York Times and USA Today bestseller. It's been featured on the Today Show and CBS Mornings. And Kennedy Ryan is the first Black romance author to hit the New York Times adult bestseller list in almost 3 years, which is amazing. Make sure to check out the new book. And thanks again to Forever and Kennedy Ryan's heart-searing sensual This Could Be Us for sponsoring this episode. Today's episode is brought to you by Amazon Publishing. So I got a story with a little Old West debauchery, if you want to get a little messy. So there is a city steeped in the Old West mess. And in the city, a reporter is following every lead to a dangerous place, one that could bring him glory and fame or end his life. New York Times bestselling author Robert Dugoni is back with a gripping new thriller of corruption, vice, and murder set in Depression-era Seattle. It's about a reporter covering a hot murder trial who soon learns nothing is what it seems. The story could make his career if he lives to write about it. You can learn more at amazon.com/A Killing on the Hill. So yes, A Killing on the Hill by Robert Dugoni is what you need to pick up if you are into some Depression era danger in Seattle. It's a city of big dreams and dark ambitions, and this reporter gets caught up in the muck. So make sure to check it out, and thanks again to Amazon Publishing for sponsoring this episode.
Okay, so the books that you have for us today are all comics. And we talked about this, like you love comics, but these are comics for people who maybe don't have as much background mm-hmm. as you do. So tell us a little bit about your background with comics.
So I love comics. I love visual storytelling. I think it's really important for people to be able to kind of like pair text and pictures and follow along and like learn that skill of visual storytelling. And I also came to comics a little bit late. Like I knew the characters through other mediums, but comics themselves weren't super accessible to me. Like we didn't have a comic book store. We had like the comics that showed up in the pharmacy, and that's sort of what I had access to.
Oh, that's so old school.
Really, like that's where I could find them, right? And so something that's really important to me about comics is making sure that they are accessible for any readers. Like if you're new, if you know the character, but you don't know where to start, if you don't have any relationship to the character at all, but you're excited about the genre of like adventure or comedy or whatever it is, that's a very, very important thing to me when I'm thinking about comics and legacy comics in particular.
Yeah. And you went from being a fan to writing for comics. And you've now, am I right that you've written both like one shot, like, you know, the floppies that come out in the comic shop and book, like novels about these legacy characters?
Yes, correct. I have.
So I did.
Yeah. You're like, okay, no.
Which ones though? Which ones?
So for DC, I did a one shot about Zatanna, who is a magic user in the DC universe. And then for Marvel, I did a Black Cat one shot in the Women of Marvel comic that came out March of this year, which were my like floppy comics debuts. And then I've written, you know, kids versions of like illustrated novels with the Avengers Assembly series. And then I have my Spider-Man book that's coming out, or is out, I guess, since this is dropping after, which is just prose, like no illustrations. It's just bringing a comic book character into a novel form.
So you went from being like a fan to an actual writer for the characters that you love, which is amazing. Amazing. Yes.
It's wild. It's like, what is life? Kind of wild. Right.
Sometimes dreams come true, I guess.
You just have to be really annoying and loud about what you want to do. Turns out I'm minimizing.
Is that your secret?
But yes, that's the kernel of where it all started.
Nice.
Like, hey, do you want to talk about Spider-Man? Can we talk about Spider-Man? I would like to talk about Spider-Man.
You heard it here. There's some good career advice for you. I mean, not for nothing. That's how I got a lot of my book jobs. It's like, hi, right? Do you want to talk about books? Let's talk about books. I like books. So it's one piece. It's one piece of then the persistence and the hopefully some talent in there somewhere. All right. So what's the first book that you want to recommend to our listeners?
So surprising no one. I'm already going to start off by cheating. But I truly think that these are like wonderful paired together. Mm. So the first one, which was a big also like influence to me in terms of how I think about comics and how I think about comics for new readers, is Spidey Volume 1, First Day, written by Robbie Thompson, illustrated by Nick Bradshaw, among others. It's the first six issues of Marvel's 2014 Spidey series, which is this like wonderful sort of like back to basics, very easy to pick up and put down Spider-Man book, where it's like Peter's back in high school, it's current era. Each book is like a little one-shot vignette of him dealing with classic characters. You don't really need a huge background to have fun with it, because they give you like a one-page explainer at the top of the book of who he is and how he got there, and then it dives into the story. And it's like funny, and like Peter's such a relatable character, and the art is really, really fun. Like every page you can dive deeper into and find something new when you're looking at it, no matter how many times you read it. And so that to me speaks to like, okay, I'm a new Spider-Man fan, or I'm a new like action, like I like action, adventure, and comedy, but I've never read a Spider-Man book, and there are 8,000 issues. Yeah. Like, where do I start? This is a great introduction to the character, I think. And it's modern, so you're not dealing with some of the like more frustrating issues older comics might have. Mm. Because it came out, you know, like 8 years ago or whatever. And so like that's a big one. And then pairing it with Ms. Marvel Volume 1, No Normal, by G. Willow Wilson, Sana Amana, and Adrian Alfona, which is the introduction to Kamala Khan, who you may be familiar with from a lot of the marketing that's happening right now around the TV show. This was unlike anything in the world, right? Yeah. But the reason it pairs so well is because Peter and Kamala are complementary characters. Like Peter was the accessible character for the longest time. He was the one we saw ourselves in. He was the one who's trying so hard despite life being so hard. Mm. That's what Kamala became. But she's a brown girl from Jersey City.
Yeah, she is.
Right? She is the relatable one here. Mm. She is the one that we are like, yeah, it is really hard to like try to be a superhero probably when you're going through life stuff, you know? And with Peter has with great power comes great responsibility. Kamala has good is not a thing you are. It's a thing you do.
Yes.
And so you have these characters who are both like teenagers trying to deal with those coming of age issues, but also being a superhero.
Yeah.
But one is this like legacy character brought into a new era for new readers. And so you can just pick them up. And one is a brand new character who people are becoming familiar with now and doesn't have that like long, long, long history of having to engage with just to be able to enjoy.
Yeah. I mean, longtime listeners of the show will know that Amanda and I have recommended Miss Marvel so many times.
Yes.
Like, it's so good for so many things. I don't know that we've ever... That's not true. I've recommended your Spider-Man middle grade book on this show. I'm pretty sure, actually. I was going to say, have we ever recommended Spider-Man?
Maybe Peter and Ned's.
Yeah, I think I did, actually. I think I recommended that one for a reader one time. But we, you know, superhero comics like can feel really overwhelming or overdone. Like, oh my gosh, Marvel has put out 16 more movies this year or like an 18,000 more shows. Like, it's a lot. So yeah, it's nice to have these kinds of jumping off points. And would you say these are all age, or how all agey are they?
I mean, they're definitely like all ages in terms of like super accessible by everyone. Spidey, I think, is great for young readers.
Okay.
He's in high school. It's very like sort of upper middle grade, younger YA in terms of dealing with crushes and like bullies and things like that, while also being a superhero. But they're just really fun, sweet stories. So I think they are truly the definition of all ages, especially like Kamala Khan, because that's like mainline Marvel Comics universe.
Right.
And so it's dealing with big stuff and small stuff.
Yeah, I do love this pairing. And I think Peter and Kamala both have a little bit of that like nerd. Well, maybe a lot of that nerd humor. Right.
Yes.
Like they're both big nerds.
They're dorks. They're huge, huge dorks. There's this like wonderful panel in one of the first issues of Spidey where Peter is Spider-Man and he's just saved the day. And Gwen Stacy is standing there and she like asks him a question and he's like, be cool. Say something cool. Say something cool. And then he just goes, yeah. And then he's like, nailed it. Like, they're both huge, awkward dorks. And that's why we like them so much, because we're all huge, awkward dorks.
Indeed. Truer words have never been spoken. All right. Let's move on to book number two, which is actually one book this time.
Yeah, just one book. I wanted to do double ups for all of them. Jen was like, no.
I did lay down a few rules. It's true.
So the second book is... third, second, whatever, Green Lantern Legacy by Min Lay, written by Min Lay and illustrated by Andy Tong. And this is a graphic novel. It's not like a, you know, regular old weekly comic book issue floppy. And this one I wanted to recommend. One, it's DC. Two, it's another one of those like accessibility points for comics. Like, I am not a Green Lantern reader. I don't know anything really. I know sort of what I've gotten from osmosis about what the Green Lanterns are.
Like, there's a ring involved and like some like hologrammy looking like force
and they're in space.
Projections. Oh, right. They're in space. Yeah.
Right. Like, I know sort of, I couldn't name them all. There are like a lot of, there are a whole core. And so you have Min, who gets to tell this story about a new Green Lantern named Ty Pham, whose grandmother was a Green Lantern, Kim Tran. And so what I really like about this is, one, the art is very, very fun from Andy Tong. It's bright. It's colorful. It's like, again, really fun to look through and find little things in, and very elastic and enjoyable to just sort of like take in. And then the story, Min knows kids. Like, you might recognize Min's name from his picture books, like Drawn Together, which is one of my favorite picture books of all time, with Dan Santat. And so he knows kids. He knows how to write for kids. And this is Min getting to tell a superhero story for kids. And so it does all these great things. Like, there's generational storytelling. You have this wonderful relationship between Ty and Kim. It's historical storytelling. We get to see Kim in, you know, as a Green Lantern right around like the time of the Vietnam War and kind of what that means. And so you have all these little things that are being pulled into a superhero story to bring new light to them. Right. And that is something that's really wonderful. And it's just really fun. Like, it's a fun book. And I think superhero comics and superhero books should always have that element of fun, because they are properties that are there to like delight us.
I like that. I like that idea a lot. And this is another sort of all ages one.
This is another all ages one. This is not, this is like one of those DC Random House, I want to say, collabs. And so it's definitely like another one of those like middle grade level, but all ages. Yeah. All ages for sure.
It's nice to have a range of that. I mean, I know that a lot of, we talk a lot about how great comics and graphic novels are for reluctant readers, right? Mm-hmm. Because they may not be ready to like stare down a whole page of prose, but if you give them dialogue and you give them visual action, or for some people, it's just easier to process, right? It's just easier to process that kind of information. So the art does look gorgeous on this. I was drooling over this cover when I was doing so my prep. It's so beautiful. I'm really, I'm jazzed to pick this one up because this one, I have never read a Green Lantern anything. Despite
me neither.
Having like heard some cool stuff about it, I guess like they're doing some interesting things. But one day maybe I'll read it. So now I have another option. Always, always a good thing. All right, let's do another quick sponsor break.
Today's episode is brought to you by Flatiron Books, publisher of The Familiar by Leigh Bardugo. This is one I'm actually super excited about. I liked Leigh Bardugo's other adult fantasy books, and so I'm really looking forward to this one. It's set in the Spanish Golden Age during a time of high-stakes political intrigue and glittering wealth. It follows Luzia, a servant in the household of an impoverished Spanish nobleman who reveals a talent for little miracles. Her social climbing mistress demands Luzia use her gifts to win over Madrid's most powerful players, but what begins as simple amusement takes a dangerous turn. Luzia will need to use every bit of her wit and will to survive, even the help of Guillén Santángel, an immortal familiar whose own secrets could prove deadly for them both. So The Familiar by Leigh Bardugo is on sale now. And like I said, it's a must read of the season. It's perfect for anyone who loves history, a little bit of magic, a lot of danger. You can get your copy now at LeighBardugoTheFamiliar.com. And thanks again to Flatiron Books, publisher of The Familiar by Leigh Bardugo, for sponsoring this episode. Today's episode is brought to you by Bloom Books. Taming Seven is an epic and unforgettable love story in the international best-selling and TikTok phenomenon, The Boys of Tommen series from Chloe Walsh. So Tommen's cheekiest lad, Jared Gibbsy Gibson, has always been a comedian, but inside he is haunted by events of the past and he uses humor to cope, hiding his true self from the world. Then you have Claire Biggs, who is the epitome of sunshine. She's always loved Gibbsy, her brother's friend and her favorite neighbor. She also has always seen a side to him that no one else seems to notice, and she becomes determined to tame her wild at heart childhood best friend. So the Boys of Tommen series is an internationally best-selling YA romance series that has taken TikTok by storm. It's perfect for readers looking for new adult slash crossover romance, dual point of views, friends to lovers, marathon-worthy TikTok books, and angsty tearjerkers. Taming Seven is published today, and it's the fifth book in the series, so make sure to check it out. And thanks again to Bloom Books for sponsoring this episode.
And now we're coming to your last pick, which I know a little bit about your obsession with this, but I'm really excited to hear you talk about to the people. Set the stage.
Set the stage. Caveat, it is not finished yet. So it is an ongoing series. So I don't know how it ends. This is DC versus Vampires. Which is a 12-issue miniseries from DC, written by James Tinian, Matthew Rosenberg, with art by Otto Schmidt, among others, as you're going through all the series, but he's sort of the mainline artist. And I love this. I love this book. There are 7 issues right now, and so basically the premise is that in the first issue, vampires exist in the DC universe, and there is rumblings of some kind of new vampire king who's going to upset the balance that the former leader had done, which is humans and vampires can coexist. It's not great, but it is what it is. But now there's some new leader who's come in and wants to take over the world. And we find out very quickly he's infiltrated the superhero ranks. And so it leads to this like terrifying experience where you're with like Batman, who it's Batman, who's the most paranoid person on the planet, trying to figure out, like, he can't trust anybody. He brings his family in of like the Robins and former Robins to be like, we have to figure this out because this is a huge threat to the entire world. And it's a book that goes like, just gets, it goes darker than you could possibly expect. And it's bloody, but it's the Otto Schmidt's art is like very stylistic. So it's not like gross bloody. It's like very stylistically bloody. And the colors are really, the red of the blood is like so bright against like the dark of these other things. It's gorgeous. Like, it's a gorgeous, gorgeous book. And I did like this massive cross stitch for it, but it's a big spoiler.
It's a big spoiler.
I don't want to say what it is.
We won't link to it. But if you don't care about spoilers, or you pick this up and get to a certain point,
it's issue 6. After issue 6, you can see it if you care about spoilers. If you don't care about spoilers, you can just look at it.
We'll link in the show notes to Preeti's Twitter.
But like the pacing of it is what does it, because every issue is exciting, and it doesn't feel overpaced. It doesn't feel like they're pandering, but you're like building this story over the course of months and slowly by slowly getting more, but somehow every issue is very, very exciting and very like I gasp at every single one where I'm like, what? It's so good. It's so fun.
So, okay, and I think I feel safe in saying, just from looking at the cover alone, this is not an all ages one.
This is not an all ages. This is for, I think there's a rating on it, but I would say like 14 plus.
Okay,
Like 14 plus with some, like, if you are more strict with your kids, maybe like 17 plus.
Right.
Just for violence, really.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's another one where you don't really have to know everything. Like, there's so many
heroes.
Well,
that was going to be my next question. It's like, okay, so like, how much do we need to know about the Bat family? Like, how much do we need to know about the DC universe?
I personally, like, I feel like in comics, there's no way for you to know everything.
Well,
like,
there
just isn't. There's too much. Yeah. And so I am of the mind that if you can go in and just accept certain things as being true without questioning them, like, you're fine. Like, there are a ton of characters in this that I don't know who they are.
Right.
But you know who Batman is. You know who Superman is. You know who Wonder Woman is.
Right.
Like, you know Robin exists. Like, so there's a decent amount of like setting the stage for you, but you don't need decades of DC lore to enjoy this book. You just have to know that there are superheroes who exist and what happens when superheroes get infected with vampirism. That's terrifying.
It is. It is. I do love a horror comic. If the art is not too bloody, if the art
it's
is not too gory.
Not.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very like, I don't know art terms, but it's like sketchy, brush sketchy, whatever that would be, you know? So
we're not going for like anatomical realness.
No, there's no realism. Everything is exaggerated.
Awesome.
And so it's just really cool to look at, I think.
I mean, obviously you cross stitched a whole panel.
Oh my gosh. And I'm not a horror person. So it's not like super, super scary. Like, I should point that out because I don't like to be scared.
No, no.
It's just suspenseful, I think.
And bloody. Suspenseful and bloody.
It's
well, vampires.
And
you
bloody.
Can't not have blood if it's vampires, right? Like, it's inevitable that they're going to be vampires.
It has to exist.
It has to exist. Awesome. Well, okay. So, excellent job on selling us on these four comics. we've got a whole range here for people. Love that. So, last but not least, now let's talk a little bit about your project. So Spider-Man Social Dilemma just came out. Tell the people about that.
So it is the first book in an upper middle grade trilogy, all new story about Peter Parker. He's like a few months into being Spider-Man. Also focuses on MJ. Like, there's multiple perspectives in the book, so it's not just a Spider-Man story. It's I'm trying to decide how much to like give away. I don't have a good elevator pitch for this book, which is like the first thing you're supposed to do.
We're catching you early in your cycle
because
we're recording this ahead of time. So she has not perfected it yet.
I've not, but it's that, right? So there's something amiss going on that Peter can't quite figure out with like social media. There's this like alien artifact that has someone's trying to steal from the Museum of the Moving Image. There's Sandman. There's something going on with Sandman, and all of these threads Peter thinks are tied together, but he can't quite put his finger on what it is. And so it was a lot of fun to write. And I think it's a very sweet, sweet, fun story. It's got all those elements of Spider-Man where you have this like awkward kid trying to muddle his way through life while still being a superhero. You have this like budding sweet, very like little romance with Mary Jane, mm-hmm. and you've got him like at the Daily Bugle. You've got Sandman doing horrible things and you don't know why. So yeah. And like I said, first book in a trilogy. So two more to come.
Yay. Exciting. And I think I know the answer, but just in case anybody else is wondering this, like, this is not exactly the same Spider-Man as like you would have seen in the movies,
no.
for example. They're like different universes, sort of.
So there is, yeah, there are all these different iterations of Spider-Man who exist. Even in the comics, there are different iterations of Spider-Man, right? And so this is my version of who Peter Parker is. And it's set current era. You don't really have to know anything. Like, if you are a Spider-Man fan, there are things you will pick up on. If you're brand new to Spider-Man, it's a story that you can enjoy and hopefully be an entry point for you into this fandom and into this character. I was very, very like conscious of that while I was writing to make sure that anybody who picks this up is going to have a good time reading it.
Well, having been on the receiving end of lots of your jokes, I feel confident that that's true.
Yes.
Do love a Preethi joke. All right. So are there any other projects that you would like to tell the people about?
I guess you could listen to me and Jen on Tar-Val and Her Bust, where we are currently rereading the entire Wheel of Time series.
Like our pandemic project gone amok, sort of.
It's really fun. But also, yeah, like books, I guess. Yes, I have many books for kids out that you can check out if you go to my site, preethichipper.com. Avengers Assembly is great for young readers. I have some picture books. I got some comics. I got some short stories. It's a good time. Good time to be had by all.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for being one of my experiment test authors. Love always to talk to you. And to you all who are listening, thank you for joining us on this journey. Pretty please send us your feedback. Get booked at bookriot.com. What you're liking about the experiment, what you want to hear more of, all of that good stuff. Preethi, where should the people find you?
You can find me on all of the socials at Run With Skizzers, SKIZZERS, where I spend entirely too much time. Period. Just too much time, period.
When she's not writing tweets, she's writing books and vice versa.
It's always writing, though.
It's always writing. All right. And for more recommendations, you can always get those at bookriot.com. You can find our other podcasts at bookriot.com/listen. If you would be so kind as to leave us a rating and or a review on the podcast platform of your choice, we super appreciate it. You can do it on Apple Podcasts. You can do it on Spotify. You can do it on Podchaser, et cetera, et cetera. And oh, right. And you can find me on the SFFEA podcast, or very occasionally at this point on social media at either Twitter and Tumblr, Jen IRL, JENNIRL, or on Instagram as I am Jen IRL. And we will talk to you next time.